Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. You want to do me a favor? In my drawer in my desk is that red pointer. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to need that on the right-hand side. All right, now, here in this little three verse, you say, what in the world? You're going to Jesus heal some people, okay? You're going to spend the whole Sunday school lesson on the fact that he healed a few folks? Actually, there's a lot here, as there is with everything that God does in his Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25, Jesus Christ, first of all, preached the gospel of the kingdom. You see that in verse 23, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Just a refresher now, the gospel of the kingdom concerned getting a Jewish king on the throne of David who would lead the Jews to become the ruling nation of the world. That's the gospel of the kingdom, summarized. A Jewish king on David's throne leading the nation of Israel to become the ruling nation of the world. That's going to happen. It should have happened when Jesus Christ came shortly after his crucifixion. It didn't, but it will. And I've given you before the Old Testament prophecies on this, but one of them is from Isaiah chapter 9 that says, unto us a son shall be given. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And of his government and peace there shall be no end. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and of his government and peace there shall be no end. That's one of the verses. Matthew 2:2, Jesus Christ showed up and said, where is he that is born king of the king of the Jews? They were looking for a king. And in Luke chapter 1, Gabriel told Mary he's supposed to get the throne of his father David. And as Isaiah chapter 60, this is just a little refresher for you, in Isaiah chapter 60, you find that all the Gentile nations have to worship the king of the Jews and come before and bow before the Jews, and if they don't, God wastes them. That's all going to happen. And so if you've ever wondered why the Jews have come under so much attack over the years, there's two reasons. Number one, when they disobey God, God chastises them very hard. He does the same thing to us. Second, because we have been given so much. Secondly, they come under such attack because the devil hates them. And to use any nation that he possibly can to try to destroy them. And let me tell you, the Hittites are gone, the Hivites are gone, the Girgashites are gone, the Perizzites are gone, Jebusites are gone. All those nations that the Jews went and replaced in the land of Canaan, they're all gone. You don't even know where they are today. But the Jews are still here. And the reason is, I am the Lord, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And that's the way it is. Now, we know that the Jewish king that the Jews should have been looking for is Jesus Christ. We know that. Some of them are still in the dark about that. The nation is. And in order that the Jews might recognize that he, in fact, was the Jewish king, he confirmed his preaching with healing. That's where they recognized who he was. Look, for instance, in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and look at verse 36. I may have waited too long, Kim. I may not have any battery left. It's one of those laser pointers. Probably needs a AAA. That's right. I got about 15 at home. John chapter 5, verse 36. But I said unto you, excuse me, John chapter 5, verse 36. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. He did those healing miracles to confirm his preaching so that they would know this man is from God. Now the question is, why then, I mean, if that's how he's going to confirm it, what was it about those healing miracles that should have alerted the Jews that this is our king? Well, the first thing is, there's three reasons, but the first reason is that according to the Old Testament prophecy, the Jewish king would take the throne following a tribulation or a time called the time of Jacob's trouble. Let's go back there and look at that in Jeremiah chapter 30 in verse 7. The first reason that he confirmed his preaching with healing is this right here, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. All right, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Now, I'm right in the middle of a context, but that's referring to the tribulation. Notice, "but he shall be saved out of it." Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. "But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck." In this case, it'll be the yoke of the Antichrist. "Will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them." That's the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to the thousand-year reign there. All right, so they needed a king who not only could save them, they also needed a king who could heal them. Because for the Jews, their salvation under their king was not only salvation like we know it, it was also healing. It was also going to be healing. You're in Jeremiah chapter 30, look at verse 10. "Therefore fear not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and that's not a fire. Save thee from afar, like we said down here in Texas. That's a long way away. "And thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." Okay, and then look at verse 17. "For I will restore" what? "Health unto thee, and I will" what? "Heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast." Just like a leper. They call thee an outcast, saying, "This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after." Isn't it interesting he calls it Zion, and right now the people that are opposed to Jews returning to Israel and claiming the West Bank for themselves, they call them Zionists. See, the news media has taken, I think Jeremiah wrote this in 600 B.C. This is 2,600 years later, and the news media has finally caught up, and they're calling them Zionists. Well, that's exactly what they are. Zion is their land, and their salvation is connected with their health. Look at it again in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 17, and look at verse 14. The Bible says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Healing and salvation are connected in the nation of Israel. There's another reference to this if you're keeping notes in Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20, but we won't look those up right now. Save time. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. So any Jew that was familiar with his Old Testament would have known that if they were going to find a king that would deliver them, were they ruling their own nation when Jesus Christ came, or were they under a yoke and bondage? They were under a yoke and bondage of a Roman king named Caesar. So they were waiting for somebody to break that yoke and those bonds, and that salvation would be connected with healing of their wounds. And if they knew their Old Testament, their king had to do both. That's the first reason that he confirmed his preaching with healing. The second reason that he confirmed his preaching with healing as the predominant miracle is because Moses wrote that God would raise up a prophet just like Moses. Go back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Moses said, now God's going to raise up a prophet just like me. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And in order for this prophet to be just like Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, he had to do two things. First of all, he had to preach the words that God put in his mouth. That's the first thing. And the second thing that he had to do is he had to be able to heal if he was going to be like Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18 says in verse 15, Lord, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, capital P, not Muhammad, from the midst of thee, he's a Jew. Of thy brethren, he's a Jew. Like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of thy assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto thee. You see that? And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Now Moses spoke the things that God commanded him. In John chapter, in Exodus chapter 6, Exodus chapter 6 at verse 28, God told Moses what to say, and Moses said it. Exodus chapter 6, look at verse 28. You know, a Sunday school lesson without a Bible is not much of a Sunday school lesson. You got to turn to those pages and see these things for yourself. Exodus chapter 6, verse 28, and it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, what? All that I say unto thee. And that's what he did. God told him what to say, and he said it. How about Jesus Christ? Did he do what God told him? Did he say what God told him to say? Yes, he did. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 16. He made it very clear. I'm not making this up, boys. I'm telling you what he told me to tell you. John chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. You're in John. Look at John chapter 8 and look at verse 28. Same thing. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Well, God put the words in his mouth, just like he did in Moses' mouth. If you're keeping notes, there's another reference in John chapter 12, verse 49. Not only then would he have to be able to say what God told him to say, like Moses, but he would also have to be able to heal like Moses. Did you know that Moses had the ability to heal? Go back to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 and look at verses 6 and 7. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here at this thing and show you one other thing, and then that way we won't have to turn back to this passage. Exodus chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. He put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. He healed himself. Now, this is jumping ahead a second, but look at verse 8 so you'll understand why he did it. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It was to confirm his preaching. So they would believe what God said. All right, so in order then, for the Jews to know it was the right man, that king would have to have the ability to save and to heal. To know that it was the right man, he would have to be a prophet who had the ability to speak God's words and heal, to be like Moses. And the third reason that he confirmed his preaching with healing is because Jews are not like you are. No, nobody had to confirm the preaching of the words of God that saved your soul with a sign miracle. You believed it because Gentiles seek after wisdom. But not Jews. Jews are different. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jews are from Missouri. You didn't know that? The show me state. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. They have to see it to believe. That's what you know, you hear that saying, seeing is believing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, this is the nature of a Jew. For the Jews require, not request, 1 Corinthians 1, 22, for the Jews require a sign So when Jesus Christ came to the earth to preach, he had to confirm his preaching with a sign in order for them to believe. All right. Now back there in Exodus chapter 4, he said, if they don't believe the first time, you preach and show them this sign of healing, and then they will believe. And you know something? When Moses and Aaron went before those people, they performed those signs and said that God said it's time to get out of Egypt. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, the last two verses, and the Jews believed the words that were spoken. But not until they saw those signs. And the Jews wouldn't have believed it was the Messiah. They wouldn't have believed it was Jesus Christ. They wouldn't have believed his preaching unless they saw some miracles. Some miracles. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 at verse 53. And of course, when Jesus Christ performed those miracles, it worked. John chapter 4, look at verse 53. John chapter 4, verse 53. So the Father knew that it was the same hour in that which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself did what? Believed, and his whole house. He got the results he was looking for. Look in John chapter 2, verse 23. John chapter 2 at verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when? When they saw the miracles which he did. So, those are the three reasons that Jesus Christ confirmed his preaching with healing. Now, it's important for you, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. It's important for you to understand something about this then. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom, so I'm a king, therefore, and also a prophet, therefore I save and I heal. But now here's the second thing that you want to notice in this passage. Notice it says in verse 23 again at the end, and healing what? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Right? Look at the last part of verse 24. They had all these various diseases. Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, and he healed them. Am I saying Matthew chapter 5? You know where I am. That's right. Thank you very much. I see some people doing this. Does your Bible say the same thing my Bible says? Some Bibles at the top say 4 and 5, so you know both chapters are on the same page. Some only show you whichever chapter begins on that page. Matthew chapter 5 happens to begin on this page, so as far as I'm concerned, everything that's in there is Matthew chapter 5. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, at the end of verse 24, he healed them. You know what characterizes the true gift of healing? What characterizes the true gift of healing? Complete healing. Doesn't come back. Hang on. It's something more simple than that. It said he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and then the last part of verse 24 said he healed them. There was no discussion in this passage of faith or whether it came back or anything. What characterizes, as far as this passage is concerned, we're not studying everything about healing, but as far as this passage is concerned, what characterizes the gift of healing is everybody that comes for healing gets healed. That's real important. Why? Why is that so important to recognize that? Jesus Christ never had any failures. Look in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Matthew 8, 16. Never had any failures. Matthew 8, 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed what? All that were sick. That's very important. Look at chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing what? Every sickness and every disease among the people. Look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. Matthew chapter 12, and look at verse 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them, what? All. All. What characterizes the real gift of healing, then, is the ability to heal every disease and every person that comes for a healing. And not only was that true of Jesus Christ, it was also true of the apostles. Look in Acts chapter 5 at verse 16. Acts chapter 5 and look at verse 16. What do you suppose would have happened, Acts chapter 5 verse 16, if Jesus Christ came confirming his preaching of the kingdom with a sign of healing and had a bunch of misfires and then said, well, it's because you didn't have enough faith. Acts chapter 5 verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, how many? Every one. There's only one case in your Bible of somebody who didn't get healed when the attempt was made. You know where it is? Paul asked for the thorn to be removed from his flesh. That's not the instance I was thinking of. I'm talking about somebody that's trying to heal somebody else and the kid didn't get healed. That little boy, Matthew chapter 17. I want you to see that because they ask him, hey, they said, Jesus, hey, wait a minute. He said, how come we, I love it, how come we couldn't cast out that devil? Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. They came, the disciples, to Jesus apart and said, what's the deal here? I thought you gave us a gift. Why couldn't we handle it? Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of whose unbelief? Yours. The only time that there was ever a failure anywhere in the Bible of somebody to get healed was not the lack of faith on the part of the person that came to be healed. It was a lack of faith of the person that was doing the healing. No, they don't get it from this. They won't even refer you to this passage. They're going to refer you to their own deal. Listen, today, these guys that profess to be healers with the gift of healing do not heal everybody that comes to them. They do not heal all, and when they don't, they blame the person who came for the healing for not having enough faith, and they don't take the blame themselves. And the only misfire in the entire Bible is this one, and Jesus said, it's your fault, not the fault of the kid. And they won't go there. Now, I'm not, go back to Matthew chapter 5, we'll keep studying. Does the Lord heal? Amen. We wouldn't have been here this morning praying to God right now to take care of these illnesses and sicknesses and infections and things if we didn't believe God can heal, and we've seen it ourselves. But for us to say because a few people get healed from a prayer that we have the gift of healing, we're going to go around and do that, if we don't go to the cancer ward and release everybody that's in there, we're a charlatan. These guys that say, you're going to have to come to my meeting and put some offering in there and plant your seed faith with $1,000 and get $10,000 back and get your healing. That stuff is trickery. That's not a gift of healing. If it's a gift of healing, everybody that comes for the healing gets healed. And that's what you need to see there. Okay, now, what have we seen so far? And then we'll look at something else. We've seen so far that Jesus confirmed his preaching of the gospel of the kingdom with healing for the three reasons that we saw. And we've also seen that when he did it, he didn't have any misfires. And that's what really strengthened the confirmation of his preaching. The next thing we want to notice is the kinds of things that he healed here. It says here that his fame went through verse 24, all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases. Now that's not, what do they call that thing when you come up too fast? The bends? Is it not just, this is diverse, different diseases, not divers diseases. Not a diver, not a scuba diver's disease. Divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, those that were lunatic, those that had the palsy and healed them. Let me discuss real quick with you what these diseases are, but notice, possessed with devils is one disease, and those that were lunatic is another disease. Notice that he makes the distinction there. Divers diseases would be things like leprosy, blindness, deafness, dumbness, lameness, the guy with the withered hand, those were the various types of diseases that they had that caused those things. Then there's devil possession, like the man in the Gadarenes who was so possessed with devils that 2,000 of them came out of him and killed those pigs. And he was cutting himself and running around naked and they couldn't even chain him. He was so possessed with the devil. Or like the little kid we just looked at in Matthew chapter 17 who was in and out of the fire and the water. And then there's lunacy. He said those that were lunatic. Lunacy, the root of that word is lunar, moon, and it shows the thing goes in phases. Lunacy is an insanity, but it's not always connected with devil possession. Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just insanity. And the reason they called it lunacy is because sometimes the mind is lucid, but then sometimes they're just whacked out. And it's like phases of the moon. And so they called it that. And then there's palsy, which is either complete or partial paralysis. And sometimes palsy is uncontrollable muscular tremors. Can be both of those things. The palsy. All those things were presented to Jesus, and he healed all of those things that were brought to him. And then notice one other thing in the passage. There's a lot in three verses, isn't there? The one other thing in the passage is how vast the area was that was affected by his preaching and his teaching. Just look how vast the area is. Now, where he's preaching is in... Hey, there it is. I was pushing the wrong button. I was pushing the battery gate, not the deal. Lenny showed up, and he used one of these before, and now everything's fixed. There you go. That's where he was right there. He was in Galilee. Isn't that cool? Oh, man, let me get this out of the way for you. There you go. Oh, don't you like it? Sure, anytime, Wally. So he was right there in Galilee, okay? Now, here are the areas that the Bible says were affected. Syria, that's right there. See Syria? And it included Phoenicia right there. There was a woman that was healed later from Syrophoenicia, so it was connected to Syria. So that's north of Galilee where he preached. And then they came from Decapolis. Decapolis is on the east and southeast right there, goes down into this area, of the Dead Sea. There were 10 cities there that were all compared and put together. Decapolis, they came from there. They came from Jerusalem, which is right there. They came from Judea, which is south of Samaria here. They came from Galilee, which is north of Samaria here. Where else did they come from? And they came from beyond Jordan, which would be here. That area was called Perea. And right up there, which is the area called Iturea or Trachonitis. And so, I mean, he's preaching right here in Capernaum in this little area right there. And that thing, that whole circle like that is affected by his preaching ministry and his teaching ministry. The whole length of, on the scale, the whole length from the battle, that's where Megiddo starts right there at Haifa and comes down the Jordan River, runs through the Dead Sea all the way down here to Ezion Geber. That whole deal is 200 miles. So that area right there is about a 25 mile to maybe 50 mile radius, like that. Not quite as big as our radio broadcast area. Anyway, that's pretty good. For that, people came from all over that thing, and that's how he effectively got his ministry going. So he did a whole lot of things there when he's preaching that gospel of the kingdom, and when he did those healing miracles like that. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating stuff?